Today on Real Radio.
In fact, listen, we get the idea from this. You know the old burying the hatchet but the handle still sticking out concept? Oh, forgive you, but the handle of the hatchet still sticking out? That's how the world forgives.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Now, certainly a key reason we don't deserve heaven is sin. Now, in the eyes and presence of a perfect and holy God, our sin nature keeps us from His presence and, of course, having the fellowship with Him. So, exactly how is this problem dealt with? Do we simply say a prayer and expect Him to wink at sin and, you know, look the other way? Well, Scripture is quite specific on how to take care of the sin problem. It's done on His terms only, and His terms are quite serious, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series in a message called, How Does God Forgive Our Sin?
Our modern day culture would have conviction to become illegal. Doesn't make people feel good. Causes people to realize that they need help. Probably the gospel pretty soon, the way this nation's going, the gospel's going to be a hate crime issue. He told me Jesus is the only way, and I haven't been able to sleep since. I'm suing Him. Little do they know, that's the Holy Spirit they're trying to sue. Now listen to this. This is cool. You just heard John 3:16. Listen to 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. Same theme, huh? And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. My goodness, if you and I are to lay down our lives for one another, doesn't it then come to us as common thing that we'd forgive one another? I think it'd be easier to forgive one another than to lay down your life. But maybe they're both the same thing daily, huh? Think about that. And so it's not of this world. Let's just agree on that, that forgiveness, if you really, really meditate on it, is an amazing thing. It's not human nature. Human nature to carry a grudge. It's not of this world. Secondly, under this point, it's larger than life. And boy, am I glad. How is forgiveness larger than life? In 2 Corinthians 5, it's an awesome chapter. You ought to read it often. It's very encouraging. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you need to ask yourself tonight if you're in Christ, that person's a new creation. Old things have passed away. I don't know about you, but how many of you want old things to pass away? For the young people go, What's the big deal? The older you get, it's like, yes, let them pass away. No wonder why David cried out and said, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Who says that? Some old guy. You think they're okay. What? What's the deal? What? Well, don't remember the things of old. Let them pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us, brought us back together, connected us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the life of the Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? Because you're a peacemaker. What does a peacemaker do? A peacemaker wants people to get back together. Wants people to come back and make up. Why? Because it is a living death to carry on a life with unforgiveness. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What an amazing thing to realize. Forgiveness is larger than life. Some of you are living your life, and if you could just find maybe forgiveness. A lot of people are under that burden If I could just find forgiveness, if I could just go around to everybody that I've harmed and hurt and upset and just find forgiveness, I'll be free. And that is a wonderful thing, but let me tell you something. I personally, this is no set rule, but personally, I know it's true for my life. I've seen it in the lives of others. How do you know if you have really come to know Christ or if you know someone who's really come to know Christ? Let me tell you something right now. Please hear me on this. Don't you dare for a moment, boy, this is going to sound cynical. Don't you dare for a moment think just because someone says they're a Christian, that they're a Christian. Don't think for a moment because somebody wears a robe or is a pastor or is your friend who just accepted Jesus that that's exactly true. You don't know. We are so loving, we are so kind, we are so tender that, you know, if Satan walked down the aisle right now, we'd say, oh, somebody get him a new believer's packet. Look, here comes Satan. He's turned a new horn in his life. And that's good. But, you know, we can be naive. Because why? Because when someone has truly repented and come to know the forgiveness of God, guess what? There will be a desire to establish reconciliation. It's in the heart. And what I've seen in my life and what you've probably seen in your life is when you really come to know Christ, instantly there's the evidence of that person. Now, I'm going to call my uncle, I'm going to call my parents, I'm going to call my son, I'm going to call my daughter, whatever it is, and I'm going to make up. It's a miracle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will see to it that reconciliation is established, and it's all based upon this liberating power of forgiveness. How is a person liberated? Listen, watch the pathology of this. How is a person liberated from the pursuits of materialism? How is a person liberated from having to snort cocaine, alcohol? How is a person liberated from going from one sexual partner to the next, trying to find some purpose or meaning or acceptance? How is a person liberated from those things? By finding forgiveness, believe it or not. A girl who is often promiscuous, the pathology of that is when you talk to her about her father and her relationship, they had a horrible relationship, or she never felt like she earned her father's acceptance. And there's this strange, sinful, yes, but psychological drive that maybe if I please a man, then I'll be accepted. It's a horrible thing. Or maybe it's possessions, or maybe it's something else. No, the truth of the matter is, find forgiveness in God, with God. And then watch what happens to relationships. It's larger than life. I encourage you, do a little background study on Adolf Hitler. Find out about his parents. How was he raised? The guy was raised in a horrible home. By the way, Adolf Hitler, if you put Adolf Hitler's childhood up against Attila the Hun and Saddam Hussein. Oh my. Study Saddam Hussein's childhood now that there's more information out about him. Severely beaten by his father, abandoned, mutilation of animals, murder, terrorism. Amazing. Did you know it's in the heart of God? I mean, it's a little too late now for these guys, but did you know until the moment they breathed their last breath, or in Saddam's case, his head came off, that God was waiting for them to call out to him? Isn't that wild? Do you know this God? Do you know the Lord like that? He so loves you that you may be here tonight and you're not a Christian. And you think, well, Pastor Jack, that's awesome, but the sins I've committed in my life, listen, God was waiting. Maybe, can you imagine when they put that hood over Saddam Hussein's head that he might have maybe called out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The God of the Bible? I hope so. You say, Jack, how can you say you hope so? The guy was a maniac. He killed a bunch of people. It's horrible. It's true. It's true. But some people pull out their tongue and kill people with it. Or maybe it's thoughts, or maybe it's whatever. It doesn't matter. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need His love. We all need His forgiveness. And when we really focus on that, then our husband or our wife or our friends, they're not so bad after all. Because we're just like them. Oh, we may have sinned in some different areas, but listen, if I had a crystal clear glass here and I pour Arrowhead water or Niagara water into it, and boy, that's beautiful. Oh, I'd like to have a drink of that. And I put 10 drops of crystal cyanide droplets in there and stirred it up. Listen, it's going to kill you. Looks good, but it's going to kill you. Well, can you put only 5 drops in it? Still kill you. Well, how about 2 drops? Kill you. What if you put 1 drop of cyanide in that crystal clear water? Kill you. It doesn't take 10 drops. It just takes 1 drop. And the Bible says we've all sinned against God. We've all broken the 10 commandments. So what did God give them? To condemn us? Well, in a sense, yes, but not to keep us there, to convict us, to cause us to run to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me from that big old law. Rescue me, Lord. Years ago, Lisa and I walked into a Christian bookstore in, of all places, Salt Lake City. A Christian bookstore. And real Christians were in there. They were having a Bible study. And on the wall, somebody had painted an amazing mural. And it's a famous painting by somebody I don't know, but they're very famous. I don't remember who it is. It was like somebody. I mean, really big. It was like a Raphael or something like that, and they copied it. And it was black and white, and this sinner, this man, is hanging on the feet of Jesus, hanging on around his calves, his ankles. And the only color in the whole painting was this fiery, bearded, windswept man, and he's got these 2 stones, and he's coming down like this, and his eyes were red, and he's coming down, and he's getting ready to crush the sinner with the 10 commandments. It's Moses. And Jesus has got the sinner like this, and Jesus has got his hand on the law, keeping the law from hitting the sinner. What a great picture that is. Don't forget that. The law, Moses, was to drive us. The book of Galatians says that the law was, in the Greek word is pedagogus. It's in English, it's schoolmaster. Schoolmasters are not your friend. Schoolmasters are your teachers. And if there are any, value to them, they don't care about being your friend. They care about you reading. They care about you knowing real history. They care about you getting your math right, and they're almost ruthless. You're not going home tonight until you get this problem solved, is a good schoolmaster. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. Why? That we get forgiveness. It's a powerful thing. And then also this, thirdly under this point, it's humanly impossible. Forgiveness is God's idea, and it's humanly impossible. By that I mean this, that it takes the love of God in our hearts to forgive a person of wrong. It takes the love of God. You say, Jack, I've known non-believers who have forgiven people. You know what? They listen, I don't mean to belittle anybody. It is humanly impossible to issue the forgiveness that God requires in humanity. We can't do it. Well, I forgive, you know, I heard people, they said they forgave that person. Listen, there is a sense where we get the idea from this. You know the old burying the hatchet but the handle still sticking out concept? I'll forgive you, but the handle of the hatchet still sticking out? That's how the world forgives. It's conditional. God is the only one who's unconditional. When He forgives us, it's forgiven. In fact, let's be honest. It's so cool. Doesn't God say, when I forgive you, I forget? He says, I don't remember your sin anymore. Oh, praise the Lord, because I sure do. Hey, come on, it's true. You know what? If I ran outside right now, while during worship, you're all singing and stuff, and I was out there in the parking lot, and I took my key and I keyed all of your cars going through the park. I'm kidding. But what? Some guy's sitting there, I just brought my brand new Porsche here tonight. It's all keyed up. No, I'm kidding, but what if? What if you caught me doing something like that? And like we were kids, remember? There's like this little safety zone on timeout or Ollie Oxen free, 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 free. Timeout. You're playing tag and the person gets right near you and you go, timeout. Remember that? It's not in the rule book, but we did it. We would say, you have to forgive me. You have to forgive me. And that is true when and where repentance is in effect. We'll talk more on that later. But in the human heart, it's impossible for us to forgive the way that God would want forgiveness to be issued. Every day, those that have hurt us, those that have wronged us, we have forgiven them. But let's be honest, every time you hear their name or see their picture, don't you have to deal with the forgiveness again? Let's say Mikey really upset you, really bad, really ripped you off, and then Mikey came back and said, man, I'm so sorry, I did the wrong thing, and I sold your stuff on eBay, and you'll never get it back. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Okay. But every time you hear the word eBay, huh? Mikey? Or you see him. This is what you do. Hey, Mikey, you crook. You have to deal with it again, don't you? It's true. That's how we have to do it. We battle with it. And then we even have to say, Lord, please give me forgiveness. Put forgiveness in my heart for that person. I must forgive them. As you have forgiven me, Father, I must forgive them. It's humanly impossible. And without God's aid, it's not going to happen. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a great portion of Scripture. Ephesians 2:5. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:5 says, for he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. So what does that mean? God, who is eternal, check it out, because look, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. How is it that Jesus died for your sins when you're going to be born 2,000 years later? Because it wasn't some man on the cross dying for your sins. It was the God-man on the cross dying for your sins. God was there. And here's the amazing thing. You have to watch me now. Are you looking? Change that. There you go. Watch. Are we there? Since creation up to the cross, the Old Testament teaches that people were forgiven based upon what was coming. Okay? The Old Testament believers looked ahead to the cross. Abraham looked ahead to the cross. Noah looked at Job, talked about the Messiah coming. David, Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Isaiah, chapter 52, 53. Micah, chapter 5. On and on it goes. They looked ahead to this point, the cross. You and I live 2,000 years beyond the cross. We look back to the cross. The ancient world looks toward the cross. This modern world looks back at the cross. The cross is the pivotal moment in human history. And our sins are forgiven based upon this fact, that God is eternal. And before the universe was ever created, God, who is eternal, never arrives in a time zone. God does not live in a time zone. You and I get in an airplane and we fly, and it's always bizarre to me because when we leave LAX and we land in Europe, it's another day in the morning and you're still sleeping. And if you're not traveling with me, everybody else that you know, they're still in bed and you're in another day on the calendar. Or if we head west and just get past Hawaii just a little bit, it's still daylight, and we cross a line, and the pilot will announce, we just entered into tomorrow a moment ago, and so today now is November, blah, 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 and it's a day ahead. You say, how'd that happen? Well, one leg is in Sunday, and truly, this leg is in Monday. God does not live like that. God, who is eternal, sees everything now. Isn't it weird? He lives in the eternal, what's known as the eternal now. God sees creation. God sees the end of the world. God sees Adam and Eve right now in the garden. God sees World War II. He sees what you're going to eat tomorrow. Isn't that trippy? He lives in the eternal. When you understand that, you realize that those of you who believe in Christ, God knew. In fact, people want to get all excited about predestination. Predestination. Well, let's talk about it. You don't have the right to talk about it until you read the whole thing in order. Book of Romans says, based upon God's foreknowledge, he predestined. Everybody wants to talk about predestination, but no one wants to talk about foreknowledge. He knows everything before it happens. And so based upon his foreknowledge, he predestines. So check this out. Ephesians 2:5, for he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. That means you can't earn it. For God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages, you know, have you ever heard the word eons? That's where it comes from right there. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace revealed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Isn't it great? No one's going to be walking around heaven saying, hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me. Yeah, Jesus died for my sins, but after I came to Christ, I did pretty doggone good. I did pretty good for myself. Oh, no, people, we're going to be up there in heaven saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Wow, thank you, God, thank you, God. God, thank you. Grace, grace, grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's his idea. How does God forgive our sins? Point number two, it's this. Forgiveness must be relational. You already know that. You can't have forgiveness unless there's relationships. And you can't have relationships unless there's forgiveness. You live like that. Well, listen, if you live like that, God lives like that. It's amazing to me. He wants you to be forgiven. Get a load of this. You want to go to heaven? Sure do. Guess what? He wants you in heaven more than you want to be in heaven. Oh, I want to accept Christ. I want to accept Christ. Well, then accept him, because he wants you to accept him more than you want to accept him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that takes a look at how Scripture answers the question, how does God forgive our sin? How does God forgive our sin? That's the title of this lesson, which is part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you have a chance to catch last Wednesday's Real Radio broadcast? I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and we talked about their new book called Turnaround at Home. Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Now, if you didn't hear the program, just visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that simply says Broadcast. RealRadioactive.org to hear Pastor Jack and his wife Lisa discuss their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's all about breaking those generational patterns. You know what I mean? Those things that our parents did that we vowed we'd never do. Well, if you're a parent, or perhaps soon to be one, and you've wondered, how can I move beyond the family pattern that I had growing up? That's what this book is all about. It was a great discussion, so visit realradioactive.org to hear it if you haven't already. And we're also making this our special offer. We'll send you Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Jack and Lisa Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.